Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today, we're focusing on the prevalence of depression. And one of the things that we found to be fascinating is that as we were researching this and kind of pulling some of the things together that we're going to talk about today, is that it really varies depending on age,
right. That was the first thing.
Right.
The second thing I did is I made the mistake of looking for international differences.
Yeah, don't do that.
My gosh. And it ranges from like 0.9 to 30% of people,
right,
depending on the country.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you would expect.
Right.
Okay. Because the whole world doesn't use the DSM-5.
Right.
Okay. And so, and different cultures define this very differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that away right away. I said, well, we don't want to get into international comparisons.
Right.
Okay.
Because it would just become too
gets
complicated.
So complicated because it's definition and it's culture and it's all these things.
Right.
However,
and the availability of treatment and, you know, the quality of life and
exactly.
All kinds of things that go into that.
Right. And so we just come back to the United States and say, and you can say the Western countries, you know, that
right.
tend to look at these things in similar ways.
Right.
But if we just look at the United States, we were surprised because you have to look at age groups.
Mm-hmm.
Because since the 1980s, we now recognize that depression can occur
mm-hmm.
in children and teenagers.
Right.
Okay, we didn't always think of it. There was a time when our profession thought of depression only as an adult disorder,
right,
and that children couldn't be depressed.
Right.
Okay, well, now we know that that's not
right.
true. So we have children and teenagers, we have adults,
mm-hmm.
and it depends on the work that you read. Sometimes it's 18 and above, and sometimes it's 20 and above, and that will affect
mm-hmm.
prevalence rates. And then there's this whole area of the elderly,
right,
depression in the elderly, which is another discrete group that we have to think of,
right,
their symptoms and causes and prevalence rates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's three different age groups.
Right, absolutely. So it's very interesting. And so we're going to talk briefly about the three age
mm-hmm.
groups and kind of talk about where the statistics are right now.
Right.
So we'll just start, as we start with children and teenagers,
right,
the sad but very interesting report that just recently came out.
It's fairly recent data. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we always have to remember that when we talk about recent data, it's still old. You know, because this is
years
from 2016.
Old. That's right. Which
know?
Is recent for epidemiological studies.
Right. It's the most recent that we have.
Right.
You know, that's good, reliable data.
That's right.
But it's still, you know, a year and a half old.
Right. Presumably, we have similar rates.
Right.
They really haven't changed. There are two time periods reported from 2013 or 2010, I guess, to 2016. The
right.
rates haven't really changed that much. So we're assuming that these rates are similar.
Right.
Except in teenagers.
Right.
which may be the...
Right, because, you know, this sentence to me, this one paragraph, I'm going to read it because it's so... it just gives the example of how the age of the data does sometimes
mm-hmm.
matter, especially
right.
with some of these groups. It says, the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association analysis of medical claims data showed that the overall rate of major depression was 4.4% and that diagnosis rates rose 33% between 2013 and 2016.
I found that confusing. I mean,
yeah.
I when I read that, I thought, I wonder if everyone's going to know how to interpret that
right.
sentence.
Right. And then it goes on to say those rates increased 63% among teens and 47% among millennials.
Right.
So what we're saying here is that during those 3 years, the rate, the prevalence of a diagnosis of depression had a major increase.
Jumped.
We had a significant increase.
Right.
In the number of diagnoses made in those 3 years, over the course of those 3 years. And that's...
But
very concerning.
But it says, what's the overall rate? 4.4%.
That 4.4%, and that, yeah.
In teenagers.
4.4% in teenagers, right.
Okay. Which is only half of what it is in adults.
Right.
It's about 8.1% in adults.
Right.
Okay. So the rates in teenagers are lower compared to adults.
Of a diagnosis.
Right. But they're really increasing at a very rapid rate.
Right.
Right. And that, I think, is the mm-hmm. is the important statistic here, is that right. when you look at 4.4, you say, oh, only half the, well, but be careful
right.
because rates are rising and they're rising rapidly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it is important to differentiate the diagnosis, that it's the diagnosis, not the actual presence of depression, because there's a, you know,
that's right.
It's very difficult to predict this.
Clarify that, though.
Right. Because there are a lot of teenagers who are depressed, who don't see anybody. Who are never treated right. by a physician or a psychologist or a therapist mm-hmm. or anything. So they never receive the diagnosis.
Right.
And this is data from Blue Cross Blue Shield. So that's only one insurance company that's providing this data. Right. But it still demonstrates that increase that is concerning. That
that's right.
There more and more people, more and more teenagers are being diagnosed. Now, you can interpret that in two ways. One, that and probably the most important way to interpret that is that that's great, because that means that more and more people are being identified as having depression. Hopefully that means that they're being treated
right.
for depression, and so that will mm-hmm. show some improvements. But, you know, it really does make you pause for a moment to try to think about if that rate continued, mm-hmm. you know, here we are 2 years after that, you know, we could be at, you know,
another 6%.
Right.
Right.
We mm-hmm. have 6 or 7% now.
Right. And the important distinction is that you can be depressed, but not have a diagnosis of right. depression. And remember, we're talking about data from an insurance company
right.
where if the box isn't checked, mm-hmm. they're not going to be counted.
Right.
Doesn't mean they don't have depression.
Right.
But there are many professionals who don't want to make that diagnosis in teenagers because teenagers are still changing. Mm-hmm. And so they may say, well, yeah, this sort of is, but I don't want to make the diagnosis yet. Mm-hmm. I'll wait for a time, you know, right. to see if I really. So many professionals are more reluctant
right.
to make the diagnosis. So, but we do see this increase,
right.
and the increase is alarming.
Right.
I mean, when you think of 30 or 40%. And also, interestingly, it's higher in millennials mm-hmm. than it is in, what's the first group?
It says 63% among teens, 47% among millennials. So it right. increased more in teens than it did in the millennials.
Than the younger teenagers.
Right.
Right. Okay. So, but as they age, and there's an interesting statistic that we're going to get into when we talk about adults, that if you include 18-year-olds in your data, mm-hmm. the percentage drops a little bit.
Right.
Okay. So this does have an effect on overall rates. If
right.
you do 20 and above, it's one statistic. 18 and above, it's a different statistic.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused about the way that the data was presented here, because I don't know what their difference is between teens and millennials.
Right. Where's the difference?
Because I'm supposing millennials, they're talking about, are a little bit older, young adults. Whereas teens.
Millennials are from 2000.
2013 to 2016, you know, a person who's a teenager in 2013 was born in 2000.
Still a millennial.
Right. So how are they differentiating teens right. from millennials?
And that's
what I'm not sure about.
Right. And so we'll apologize for that one. And I'll go in yeah. and look at that, because to me, there's a lot of overlap between right. the two.
Yeah.
Because millennials are teenagers.
But the way that I took it, and, you know, and it doesn't really, provide a lot of reference for where the data comes from, and which is always a concern. But,
right.
but it does seem to be coming from the CDC. Which we'll be talking about in just a second. But the way that I took it was that when you're just talking about teenagers, it's at 63%. But when you're talking about millennials, which includes that group that goes up Pre-teens. Into that goes up into the later teens and maybe even early 20s, then you're talking about
if a person's born in 2014, what are they?
Generation Z, right? Or iGen, depending on the book you're reading.
That's 95. iGen is 95.
iGen is 95.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So a millennial is somebody born after 2000.
Is that the way it is?
Isn't it?
I don't know. You should have looked this up before we started this podcast.
I apologize. That's why I apologize. I will look it up and we'll clarify.
I don't really have a full appreciation of how dates are decided when it comes to what constitutes this generation versus that generation.
A teenager would be 13
right.
to 20.
Okay.
That means anybody born after 2005.
Well, no. This was 2013 to 2016.
Right, but I mean just using today's data. Mm-hmm. Okay, if we think of it as today, mm-hmm. it'd be 2005. Mm-hmm. You would be 13 years old.
Right.
Now.
You would turn it this year, right?
Okay, so it would be anybody born 2005 and later.
To be a teenager now. 2005 or earlier.
Or earlier.
Right.
Right, would be a teenager.
Right.
So why... But there are also millennials.
Right.
Okay, we'll find out.
I don't know.
We will check with the CDC and we will find out.
But this is recent data that suggests, again, that significant increase in prevalence. And you know, let's be honest. Whether you're talking about teens, millennials, or however you're going to choose to differentiate that, an increase of 47% and nearly 50% is a major increase.
When you're doubled, so almost.
No matter how you're... dividing those mm-hmm. age groups, that's really significant.
And of course, before we leave this topic, people will say, well, why is it increasing? And right. so the first thing, what is everybody going to say?
Well,
because of electronics.
Right.
Right. Okay, right. So we will get into that another time.
We have another podcast scheduled for this week all about causes of depression. So we'll talk about that then.
We will be addressing that issue.
Right. So. Now, we're going to shift to a second article from the CDC.
Right.
And this one is talking about adults.
Adults.
Right. So 20 years of age and older.
20 and up.
20 right. and up. Mm-hmm. And so what we have here, again, is a bit of an increase recently in the prevalence of depression, but not nearly as significant.
Right.
But about 8%, 8.1%, mm-hmm. according to the 2013 right. to 2016 data, of American adults are depressed.
Mm-hmm. And there's a sex difference.
Right.
Always.
Right.
Okay.
Where women are about 10% of women versus only about 5% of men.
And again.
Why?
Why? Right. But
women are much more likely to talk about those things than men.
Women will get treatment.
Right.
Men. The shorthand we always said was that women go to doctors and men go to bars.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Men don't want to think of themselves as being depressed. And don't seek treatment, right. so they don't get counted.
Right.
When we talk about the Blue Cross Blue Shield study, the only way you can be counted is if you went in for the appointment. So if you're not going in to mm-hmm. see somebody, you're mm-hmm. not going to be counted. So I don't think anybody believes that women have higher rates of depression than men.
That number.
Right, women are diagnosed at higher rates
right.
only because they're talking about it and right. and seeking treatment.
And I think that we have to be honest that I'm sure that in the professional community, people making the diagnosis, they're much more likely to make that diagnosis in women than they are in men. Where they, you know, they'll see a man who's maybe a little bit down or withdrawn, and they will label it as one thing. But if they see a woman who is experiencing the same symptoms, they may be more likely to, because, it's completely wrong to characterize some of these symptoms in this way, but you know, I think that there is a maybe say cultural. We have a history of identifying and thinking about women more emotionally than we think of men. We think men as more behavioral and women as more emotional. There is such an overlap between those two things that you, mm-hmm. you can't take them apart. But, you know, when you look at diagnoses across the board, anything that's internalized, anxiety, depression, mm-hmm. those kinds of things, there's always a higher rate in women than there are in men.
Right.
And externalizing things, there's always a significant increase or significant higher rate in men than there is in women.
Right. Right.
ADHD, for example. We know that the rates really aren't that different between boys and girls, but boys are much more likely to get that diagnosis.
Well, because boys tend to externalize their symptoms and right. girls tend to internalize their
right.
symptoms. But yeah, you're right. There's a cultural bias.
Right.
Going back to Freud.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. hysteria.
Right.
You know, not an accidental name.
Right.
And so we tend to view women as being more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a cultural bias. It's,
right.
It's nothing to do with science.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. so we do have, it's pretty prevalent overall. Depression is pretty prevalent. And I think that the actual rates, if we started to balance things out, is you're talking about somewhere between 8 and 10%
right.
of the population,
right.
Adult population probably struggles with depression.
Right. Yeah, and the rates are probably similar in men and women.
Right.
I think you always have to remember that there's more variability in a group of men
right.
than there is between a group of men and a group of women.
Right.
Men and women tend to be fairly similar as a group, so we can never forget that. So I suspect that this is a where do you go for help question rather
right.
than a real diagnostic question.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the final group we're going to talk about is the aged population, so
right.
the older
elderly.
Older mm-hmm. adults. And again, the data is really, really interesting.
Right.
And this is another site from the a page from the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that there's a section that says how many older adults are depressed. And so that what they wrote here is the good news is that the majority of older adults are not depressed. Now, that wording is very important because the majority are not depressed, which just basically means more than 50%.
Right.
All right, so 49% could be depressed, but you know the majority aren't.
But 51%. But then the data they provide,
yeah.
which is confusing.
Right, some estimates of major depression in older people living in the community range from less than 1% to about 5%, but rise to 13.5% in those who require home health care and to 11.5% in older hospital patients.
I think CDC does a pretty good job.
Yeah. That's muddy.
No. This doesn't make any sense to me because there's no reason to believe. Nobody can convince me. No, I better not say it that way.
Yeah, better not.
Because that's...
That's a challenge.
I can't believe that the elderly have lower rates of depression than mm-hmm. adults.
Right. Than other adults. Right.
right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, if it's 8% in adults, how mm-hmm. can it be 1% in the elderly? If
right.
anything, the rates should increase in the elderly.
Right.
Okay.
Well, because as we'll talk about later, you know, the elderly is one of the top two or three groups that is at most risk for suicidal ideation and self-harming behaviors and things like that.
Drug and alcohol abuse.
Right.
I mean, particularly after you lose a partner.
Right.
You know, we know that women who mm-hmm. lose their substance abuse rates are increasing in widows.
Right.
Okay. We know that. There are right. good data on that. Also, interestingly, in the data on teenagers,
mm-hmm.
and I'm speaking slowly and I have my glasses on to make sure I get this right. In teenagers, 85% of teenagers who were diagnosed with depression
mm-hmm.
have some kind of chronic illness.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So chronic illness, we're going to talk about causes later,
mm-hmm.
but chronic illness increases. It's the same data for the elderly.
Right.
Okay. If you have a chronic illness,
right.
the chances of you having depression skyrocket.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people who are the elderly tend to have more chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why wouldn't their rates of depression be higher?
Right.
Okay. So I'm a little bit confused by these data.
Right.
Of all three groups. This is, to me, the most confusing. And it may be that, again, we see reluctance to make the diagnosis in teenagers. there may be the same reluctance to make the diagnosis in the elderly.
Yeah. Well, if we slightly tease apart the way that that sentence was written, though,
right,
that less than 1% to 5% is for those who live in the community.
What do you mean?
It says those living in the community range from less than 1% to about 5%. So it is more probable that those are individuals who don't have the chronic health related issues. That's not older adults overall. Those are just data from people who live in the community. So they may have, they likely have less health related issues. They aren't living in healthcare situations. When you talk about the population of people mm-hmm. who live in those kinds of settings with the medical problems and everything, that's where we're getting the 11.5% or 13.5%. So, you know, it would be interesting to look at the raw numbers, you know, what mm-hmm. the in
yes.
values
right.
are, that there's probably many more people, as you said, you know, a lot of times those older adults tend to have more medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may be, you know, the proportion of them living in, you know, home health care situations
right.
or in hospitals or different types of settings, that number is probably higher than those in the community.
And then who are the elderly? What
right.
age? Okay.
Right.
Is it
right.
65 and up? Is it 60
right.
and up? Because if a person is older and healthy, they may have far fewer rates of depression because there are fewer
right.
things to be depressed about. Finances and health,
mm-hmm.
okay? As soon as your health starts to decline, I think the rates are going to go up
right.
because whether you're in a hospital or home health care, once you're being treated for a chronic medical condition,
right.
the rates of depression rise precipitously.
Right,
mm-hmm.
yeah, because in the section above, it says 80% of older adults have at least one chronic health condition and
right.
50% of them have two or more.
That's right. And
so
That is a
significant portion of that population
right.
that has
exactly
you know, those
mm-hmm.
kinds of issues. So,
yeah.
so that's where those are different. But so the bottom line is, you know, we're talking about teens and kids that have, you know, depression rates at about 4.5%
or
so.
4 or 5%.
But that growth curve is
mm-hmm.
really
increasing
spiking.
Quickly,
it's really
right.
increasing pretty rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Adults, we're talking about 8 to 10%.
Right.
And then in the elderly population, depending on where you live, if you live in the community, if you're independent,
right.
you're doing
mm-hmm.
all that, the rates are relatively low, not too
about
dissimilar
from teenagers. Right.
Mm-hmm. But as soon as you start introducing some serious health related issues, then that risk significantly increases.
And same with teenagers.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So the teenagers and the elderly look similar. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but we have to sort these data out.
Right.
And see what they mean. And we'll find out about millennials.
Right.
We'll take a look at that.
So, mm-hmm. all right. Well, that is it then for
yes.
today.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening, have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.